RadioArchives.com presents The Dangerous Corpse, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by Police Captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Dangerous Corpse. Chapter 1, Death at Her Heels. She was a study in contrasts. In the first place, she didn't look as if she belonged within 5 miles of Bleecher Street. Her type didn't go well with the ramshackle buildings, the cheap stores, eating places, and dives. In the second instance, while her dress was inexpensive, it was neat and clean, and her hair was carefully arranged, as if an expert hairdresser had handled it. Her skin was flawless, and she was strikingly beautiful. As she passed a corner, 2 men whistled and made a few remarks. She never turned her head or paid them the slightest attention. They slunk away, as if they somehow recognized that they'd made a mistake. She kept studying the store windows until she saw what she looked for across the street. The window sign read, "Maurice Robard, Sculpture Supplies." She crossed the street but hesitated a moment before she entered. She studied her reflection in the surprisingly clean window. She saw a girl of no more than 24. Her hair was auburn, her eyes a clear blue. She had a slightly tilted nose, lips that required only a dab of color. Her chin was rounded, and there were not yet any crepey lines on her throat. Only one thing detracted from her fresh beauty. Fine lines were faintly visible around her eyes. There were deep blue pockets beneath them, as if she hadn't slept well in weeks. And the eyes themselves lacked the sparkle they must have once had, not too long ago. She finally steeled herself, opened the shop door, and walked in. The place was cluttered with old busts, a few mauled statues, sculptor's tools, and equipment. A man, apparently Robard, the proprietor, parted a rather dirty curtain, which separated the store from some sort of a backroom workshop. Robard was a small man, with a full beard and happy crinkles near the corners of his eyes. He came forward, wiping his hands on a short apron, which he wore around his middle. "Yes, mademoiselle," he bowed slightly.
"I'm looking for someone," she said. "I'm sure he, well, dabbles in sculpturing, and I thought he might have come in here looking for supplies."
"Assuredly I will help, mademoiselle," Robard said, and bowed again. "If she will but tell me this man's name."
I'm not sure of his name," she faltered. "You see, he may be using another one. But he is known as Whitey, because his hair was very blonde."
"A gentleman with very blonde hair," Robard frowned.
"There was one." "Oh, please," she cried eagerly. "Whitey is just 6 feet tall, slender, about 35, handsome as—"
No, mademoiselle." Robard waved his hands excitedly. "Do not get up your hopes. The one I refer to was short and fat, and quite ugly, like a toad."